The Financial Survival Network, helping you to survive and thrive in the new economy. Get your free financial survival toolkit and find out where to buy gold and silver safely at great prices. Sign up at financialsurvivalnetwork.com. This is the Financial Survival Network.
1490 WGCH. This is Carrie Lutz, and you're listening to the Financial Survival Network, which is brought to you by Miles Franklin. They've been in business selling gold since 1990, and I'm a customer because when you buy, they ship. To find out more, go to milesfranklin.com or call them at 800-822-8080 and get a free quote. Today is July 2nd, 2012, which means that June is gone, which means it's time to review market performance with Mickey Fulp, the mercenary geologist. Hey, Mickey, how are you?
I'm doing well, Carrie. How are you?
Doing great. And these markets have been insane the past month, haven't they?
Yeah, we had quite the month. It was not particularly a good month, but then we had the Euro bailout plan come in on Friday, and it really skewed the markets. But we're doing a market wrap for the month, so we'll go with that. I can say that this Euro bailout plan looks to me just like a shell game. They've eliminated one of the shells, so they're down to two. So they're just moving money from one to the other, but they've eliminated a middleman. So a lot of what goes on here right now, I think, may be temporary euphoria. That said, the major U.S. markets, which would include the Dow, the S&P 500, and NASDAQ, were all up plus or minus 4% for the month. The small caps did quite well. The Russell 2000 was up almost 5%. And then we had the poor juniors coming in with a venture exchange at minus almost 8%. And the Toronto Big Board, because it's dominated by commodity stocks, was also a non-performer at the month, with up just a little bit less than 1%.
Rather remarkable that the juniors can be slammed, but I guess this is this theoretical flight for safety. And if it's one thing that's true, is that bigger companies, as a rule, are safer than smaller companies, especially when there's liquidity issues and the availability of credit to worry about.
Well, that's certainly true. And pity the poor juniors. When I was in Vancouver, I had a fellow who's a professional but relatively new to the business. And his friends were telling him that this is the worst that we've ever seen it. And I said, au contraire, we saw it down to 800, the Venture Exchange Index, in late 2008. It's trading about 1,200. So if this is not the bottom, which I don't really think it is, we could go considerably lower with the juniors.
Yeah, well, if 800 is your baseline, then that's quite a bit to go. So the markets, the metals, what did the metals do this month?
Well, they rallied quite stupendously on Friday, but gold's had its worst quarter since 2004. Overall, it was up almost 3%, and all that came in on Friday. Silver was about the same, down a little bit for the month. Platinum was the big winner on Friday. It was up $57, but it was so oversold that it was uncanny to me, especially with the strikes going on in South Africa and the power issues that they have there, electrical power, that is. And some projects have been put on the shelf basically because of the low platinum price. Palladium off 4.5%. Copper was the big winner for the month, up almost 5%, but that again came in on Friday. I just wrote a piece on the short-term fundamentals of copper. They look equivocal to me to perhaps a little bullish. What we do find is copper's trading in backwardation, and quite strong backwardation, and that initiated some short covering certainly on Friday.
Interesting. Good old Dr. Copper. He's keeping us in suspense here. I mean, I think a year ago, copper was trading over $4, I think around $4.21. Now we're in the low to mid threes. So it's telling us something, but I'm not sure what at this point.
Well, I would take the contrary view there. I think copper's still telling us that the world economy is relatively strong. That plus $4 copper price was, in my opinion, completely unsustainable. Had a lot to do with hoarding of copper in China. And then we very strongly saw copper moving at those high prices, and a lot of it too had to do, I think, with the fact that there were announcements that there was going to be a physical copper ETF, which was going to take surplus supply off the market in LME warehouses, and that still hasn't come to pass, and it doesn't look like it's going to.
And you mentioned the LME, which is now going to be owned by the Hong Kong Exchange. What's your opinion of that measure that the Hong Kong Exchange is buying LME, which is the primary metal there that they deal in, is copper, right?
Well, it is, although they also do nickel and lead and zinc. But what I see, it is once again concentrating the power of the metals in growing economies in the Eastern Hemisphere. And we'll see how it all plays out. To my knowledge, that's not a completely done deal at this time. So I'm going to sit on the shelf and sit on the sidelines and watch what happens before I venture opinion on this.
Yeah, it definitely is indicative of a shifting power in the world. And it's interesting because the Hong Kong government is going to be a part owner of this exchange. And obviously anything that the Hong Kong government does happens with the consent of mainland China. This is an interesting trend and we should really keep an eye on it because I think it's going to be indicative of where things go in the future and how trustworthy, if that's the right term, this market really is in the future as well. But then we get to energy, which was, I mean, it was mayhem, wasn't it? The whole month? Was well, it insanity?
It was. We saw WTI go down something at one point, about $78 a barrel. It rallied significantly on Friday, up 6%. So a 2% down on the month, trading at on Friday about $85. Brent crude had the same fall over the month, down actually about 5%. The real shining star was natural gas again, up 16.6%, but it's at a whopping 274 a million BTU right now. So I don't know very many gas producers that are getting excited and turning on, opening the valves on their shut-in wells at this point. We still see the Brent to WTI ratio, the arbitrage there at about 1.15, with the rising gas and the drop in WTI, the oil to gas ratio is 31. That still is not going to get anybody excited at this point.
That's for sure. But, you know, these, every dog has its day, and there's every decade there's a down commodity that people write off for dead. And eventually that commodity comes back. Seen it so many times in the past. But one thing is, we are seeing a narrowing of the WTI Brent crude price, which I don't know what that means exactly, but it's definitely narrowing. And the other thing is, it looks like perhaps natural gas has bottomed. So again, it's a wait and see situation here.
Well, it certainly is. And with the heat wave going on in the Midwest and the Eastern U.S., and you're a victim of that right now, I know.
Get it.
And we're having our usual stick your head in the oven June and early July right now before the monsoon comes in. But we're going to see some increased demand for natural gas, and that's normal during the air conditioning season. But still, we're looking at record storages of natural gas, and at some point things are going to get full. So It's hard to know what's going to happen with the gas market, but we certainly have found way too much gas than we know what to do with in the continental United States right now.
For sure. And I'm looking at a quote from Boone Pickens. Gas by the end of the year, $3.75 per million, and oil, $1.15. Now, maybe he knows something we don't, but I'm skeptical. The only thing being that with those gas prices where they are, they're going to start building power plants nearby there in places where it makes sense. Because if you could get gas that cheap to generate electricity, it's going to blow away most other forms of production other than nuclear, right?
Well, that's true. And we'll see. I think highly of T. Boone Pickens. He's a very smart old man. And you brought up uranium. So we'll talk what happened to the uranium market. It was down a little bit more than 2% for the month on spot prices. But it's still in that channel, which it's been in for about as long as my short memory serves right now. And that's between $50 and $52 a pound. It's now trading at $50.75. It's a seasonal low. We see this every year in uranium. There's not much going on in the spot market in the summer. So, but that's where it is. And I think most current producers, certainly the ISR producers, are very happy with uranium at more or less $51 a pound.
And of course, we started covering currencies, which when we first had the concept for this monthly wrap-up, we never really contemplated doing it because we're into commodities. And yet, how can you cover commodities and markets without covering currency markets, right?
Point well taken. So that's why last month we added the dollar index and the euro to our basket of markets to review. What we saw was very strong dollar over the month. It got hit pretty good on Friday, but it still is well over $81 on the index. And so if you look at recent history, that's pretty high. The euro made a big comeback on Friday at $1.27. So once again, this was all about the euphoria that came about because the Europeans eliminated a middleman in the shell game.
And it's funny that you say that. Everyone that I've talked to, people that know a lot more about markets than I do, because all I know how to do is try to spot a long-term trend and follow it. I just don't have the brain power or the temperament for short-term trading. But everyone I know who really gets this, it's just a scam. They're just trying to make it look like they've got the money to do these bailouts. They don't have the money. The money doesn't exist. There's a limit to what you can pop out of a printing press, even if it's digital dollars and not paper dollars. And then let's talk about the Basel Accord. I don't know if you caught it or not, but now gold is going to be tier one capital. And the Federal Reserve is saying, well, maybe they put out a position paper. Maybe gold shouldn't have a 50% haircut in its value. Something's cooking there, and I'm not sure exactly what it is.
Well, I'm sure something's cooking. Something's always cooking between the central banks and like people in the world. So I'll just sit back and watch and let it play out and try to make money in the short-term market, Kerry.
It's going to be interesting, that's for sure, because if this represents some new attitude towards gold, that it's not a barbarous relic, that you need that you need gold as part of your asset base, then there's going to be a revaluation that takes place here at some point. They're not going to just leave it at its current value. And then what happens to the fiscal picture in every country in the world, with the exception of the emerging Asian countries, where it's all about vote buying and government programs to keep you alive, to keep you dependent, whatever, but not really part of the monthly wrap. It's just something to consider because it's going to potentially have an effect on gold and silver.
Well, I hope it doesn't have an effect on gold and silver in the next couple of months, because this is the seasonality for gold and silver demands that they're going to hit some sort of low within the next couple of months. And this is my buying opportunity of the year. So let's hope they just push that off till September, October, or whenever, so I can buy some more bullion here when the prices dip.
And that's a great point. You should be looking at buying bullion, because like you say, this is the annual low point of the metals, and they're not going to do anything in the summer. In my opinion, Mickey, nothing really ever gets done in the summer anywhere, because people really don't want to work and they don't want to make any big changes in the summer. So come September, that's why all hell breaks loose September, October, and October is such a dangerous month for any market that you're in.
Well, this is true. So let's just let it play out and see where it leads us. There's always something to be long on, Gary.
There's always a bull market happening someplace in the world in some commodity or some market. That is true. So, Mickey, we find you at
mercenarygeologist.com, mercenarygeologist.asia, and you can hear this interview on mercenarygeologist.fm.
FinancialSurvivalNetwork.com, got all of Mickey's previous interviews and a whole lot more. Sign up for the newsletter. Mickey, have a good month ahead, and I just have a feeling it's everyone's scared, everyone's hope thinking the worst is going to happen. I just think it's just going to be more of the same till the fall.
I would agree with you, Kerry.
All right, have a good one, Mick.
Thanks a lot.